clearly on the international front a key foreign policy priority for many countries such as the United States of America and South Africa is to stabilize Sudan. This is due to the fact that a number of constituencies in both South Africa, the USA, and many other countries have been mobilizing for greater stability to meet the basic needs of the Sudanese, whether it's in Darfur or the south of Sudan. And that has led to a point where many countries have prioritized that as a key foreign policy priority, namely to stabilize Sudan, to ensure a peaceful political transition, and that the peace agreement signed at the end of last year is fully implemented. And so it's in that context of greater U.S. pressure, as well as the fact that President Mbeki is scheduled to visit Sudan after the G8 summit, that then means that clearly Sudan would have to deliver on ways to stabilize Sudan.
How does his release contribute to stability? After all, he was seen as a threat for several years and a rival to President Omar al-Bashir.
One of the key points emerging on a number of situations is that many of the opponents of progressive change are released from prison. We find this has been the case in South Africa, the case in other parts of the world. And to allow the electorate to decide whether such a person does have the required strength, the required constituency support. So I think that's the one point where the Sudanese government has the required confidence at the moment that it believes Torabi will not be able to mobilize in a mass way to disrupt any progressive change towards peace and stability in Sudan, or for that matter, apply a dysfunctional Islamic paradigm, if you like. And also on the other major reason for releasing Hassan Torabi is the fact that one of the key resistance movements, if you like, towards the Sudanese government in Darfur, the Justice and Equality Movement, is aligned to Hassan Torabi. And I think the government has read that by releasing him, it has a better leverage point in negotiating for ways to stabilize Darfur.
Do we know where Mr. al-Torabi stands on the southern question as well? And on a more regional level also, where he stands with regard to spreading Sharia beyond Sudan?
There's little doubt that in 89, when he came into power through military means and the manner in which he approached the question of South Sudan, or for that matter, the other parts of Sudan as well, whether it's even the east of Sudan, it was very much a triumphalist, exclusivist paradigm, one which had an interpretation of Islam which was not considered inclusive. That paradigm has not worked and has led to the type of problems we're familiar with in Sudan, and has led to many to suggest that Sudan has now also, during his era, become known to have developed a manual of what not to do in Africa in terms of errors. Currently, he has written a book in which he has acknowledged that many of the errors he has made during his term in power. And, well, we'll have to wait and see whether he genuinely will implement those new ideas which he has expressed in a book which he has published recently. And I think the Sudanese people will decide whether those ideas are genuinely his, and he's made this conversion, if you like, to a new way of looking at things. For example, that Sudan can only survive in terms of fully acknowledging its diversity, and that it has to be a Sudan in which all the people are included in any power dispensation, or in the context of ensuring that all the people's needs are basically met.
Does that mean that he favors Sharia and the predominantly Christian and animist South, or that he's willing to leave that question open for negotiation or for referendum?
I think what we have seen is, very briefly in the past, his interpretation of Sharia was a very limited one. I think his move now, at least in terms of his publications, towards a more sort of open interpretation of Sharia, which says that Sharia does not apply on non-Muslims. As to whether he'll take that forward, we'll have to wait and see.